Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Tucked in chapter 16 is one little verse, and we're going to take four words out of that verse and minister to you this morning. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13. If you've been reading chapter 16, it's kind of just finishing up 1 Corinthians, and you kind of read through it. The other day as I was reading it, all of a sudden, boom, there was this verse, and it has a lot to say with just a few words. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13, it says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong." Watch, in the New King James. Stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. You know, it's hard to come to a Sunday before the 4th of July without thinking of what our men and women went through in the 1770s. As they challenged England to give us our freedom, men knew that they would die. They had very little chance of even overcoming a portion of the British army. But they stood. They were brave. They were courageous. They died, but they fought. And if you'd look back at that battle and those battles, you would understand that God somehow, some way, had his hand in the Revolutionary War. And from those 13 colonies spread a great nation. And our nation was great because we honored God. Our laws became based on the Bible. They walked out this nation, and now once again today, we are facing challenges. I'm not going to use this for a political speech, but I have no comprehension of our Continental Congress as they did the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, thinking about gay marriage and abortion. Things have shifted. And we've come to a place where everything that used to be right is now wrong, and everything that used to be wrong is now right. And the Bible talks about that day coming. And so right now, there's a lot of believers kind of straddling a fence. Am I going to really go 100% for God? Or am I going to listen to what the media and the political realm are saying? Am I going to really let down my standards? Am I really going to follow people who could care less about God, who all they have is an agenda? And so in the midst of all this going on, this verse stands. Paul writes, watch. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, be alert, be on your guard. Be aware of what's happening around you. Take a stand, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But we need to see what the enemy's trying to do to this nation, what he's trying to do to churches, what he's trying to do in your life, what he's trying to do to your family. We need to be aware of what is going on. We cannot sit like ostriches with our head in the sand and saying, well, everything's just going to work out. I believe everything's going to work out. I believe God is still in control. I believe he upholds this world by the word of his power. It's not going to collapse. But every nation who was great has collapsed except America. America. And America is great because of God, not because of some tremendous choices we made. America is great because we've sent missionaries around this world to evangelize, because we've been people of compassion, because we've helped nations that have been suffering, because God has chosen to bless this nation. But God blessed Israel for a while. And we come to a place where we take a look and say, I need to see what's happening. I need to be on guard for what the enemy's trying to do. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. You know these verses that you're going to hear. Some of them you know anyway. But Peter writes this to us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Be on your guard. Be aware of what the enemy wants to do in your life. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. On one side of the coin is ultimate death. On the other side is everlasting life. Know who you're serving. Know who's the one that loves you. Understand what you're going through. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Very interesting verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of God. Now look at verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Unless Satan takes advantage of us. There are people out there today say, well, just don't pay any attention to the devil. He's defeated. He's defeated, but he's not incarcerated. Jesus dealt with him. Paul dealt with him. Peter dealt with him. And we will deal with him. If you ignore him, he's not going to go away. You resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. You stand guard. You make sure you understand what he's trying to do. And as we understand what he's trying to do, we stand on guard. We're aware. If you're doing any kind of ministry for Jesus Christ, you will be under attack. It's not if I'm going to be under attack, it's how he's going to do it. We pay attention to that. If you're trying to get closer to God, if you're walking this life out and you really want to be filled with the presence of God, and as we preached the last 2 weeks, you want heaven to invade earth. You just want God about everything. Your life is focused on God. You think Satan's just going to smile at you? Do you know why he's going to try to get you off track? Because you're going to influence somebody else to do the same thing that you're doing. I expect the enemy to come after me. But I also expect God to protect me. I'll stand in the power of Jesus Christ. The Bible says they overcame him. It doesn't talk about Satan overcoming us. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives to the death. Look at me. If all you're interested in is survival, you've got an issue. Years ago, after coming back from Acapulco, I was sitting in the Baymont Motel in Sioux Falls. And our former congresswoman's mother was sitting there. And we were having breakfast. I was having a cup of coffee and reading my Bible. And she looked at me and said, "Where you been?" I said, "I just got back a few days ago from Mexico, from Acapulco." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, isn't that dangerous?" And we had gone through a riot. So it wasn't much fun. And she said, "You could die over there." And I said, "Yeah, but you need to understand. It's not important that I live. It's important I do what God's called me to do." When we come to a place of putting our life ahead of everything, and we're going to talk about being courageous, we're going to talk about standing, we're going to talk about being strong. But the main thing in this hour, at this time, is that we do what God has told us to do, realizing that whatever happens, we're still alive. Be on guard. Understand what's happening. Understand things are changing, but God hasn't lost control. He's the one that takes care of you. He doesn't change. And He'll always be with you, even as Jesus said, to the ends of the earth. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Take a firm, solid stand, that means, for Jesus Christ. There are times we have to look at what's influencing us. And what's influencing us to do what we do and say what we do, we say and go where we go. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, part of the armor of God verses. It talks about this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand." I heard a television evangelist preach that every one of us will have an evil day. That there comes a time when Satan has devised something for your defeat, as Jack Hayford has preached. And as that day comes, he's going to pour everything at you he can. Do you ever have one thing after another happen, or do you ever have one thing pile up on top of another? You looked at it and said, "What is going on? Why am I here? God, where are you? God hasn't moved." But the Bible says, put on that whole armor that we can stand in that evil day. I wasn't prepared in 1967 when my phone rang. I thought life was good. Everything was happy. Everything was going good. On the end of the line was my pastor, Arden Adamson, who said, "Dwight, your mom and dad have both been killed in a car accident." Some of you have received some calls like that. And because I wasn't prepared, I went through about a year of really going through hard times. People still come, and I talked to somebody a while back about mom and dad's death, and People say, well, why did God take your mom? God didn't take him. He received him. But what in your day? Job sat there one day and said, the thing I feared worst has come upon me. We don't base our life on negative fears. We don't base our life on psychological panics. We don't base our life on things. We are prepared to stand for Jesus Christ, who is giving us the strength to stand. Whatever comes against you, you can go through. There are some of you sitting here right now that you never thought you'd survive something, but you did. How many know what I'm talking about? You didn't think you could make it through, but you're here today. You didn't think it would work out, but you praised God earlier this morning. And so God is telling us, keep on standing. I saw Jerry in the hospital in Sioux Falls. I mean, he talked up a life, but he probably didn't even know I was there. But he made it. Jenny stood with him. They got here. They're here this morning. And in your life, as you go through things, you are more than a conqueror. But you have to make up your mind, I'm choosing to stand. I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil. I'm not going to follow what he has planned for me. I'm walking this life out. I'm walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. It may look bad now. But like the old black preacher said, it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. It might be Friday, but there's a breakout day coming in your life if we hold on and if we stand and if we're not shaken. But you know something? Forgive me for this. We talk ourselves into a lot of our problems. We look at it and say, well, it's not what I wanted. It's not what I thought I'd have. It's not what I planned. But you're still breathing, aren't you? You're still walking it out. God is still great. Is this last Sunday's crowd or is this this Sunday's crowd? Can't make my mind up. Man, if I was playing some sport, you could stay home. I don't hear you shouting. Come on, Halbert. You got all your family with you. You should be all pumped up. Get up and dance a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to what this says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. <clears throat> 57 and 58, the last two verses. After talking about death and where's your sting and hell's where's your victory, Paul writes this. Take time to read it every once in a while. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at me. Have you made up your mind to be a victim or have you made up your mind to be a victor? Hello? Are you looking for entitlements from the government or are you looking for blessings from God? You're not looking for nothing. And I ain't going to tell you where to look either. Verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You can't be running and winning if you're carrying the backpack of self-pity and you think everything is against you. Make up your mind to walk this life out. Walk in victory. Let nothing shake you. Let nothing get in your way. The Bible says you'll tread on scorpions and serpents. They can't stop you until you lay down and roll over and say, "Oh, poor me. I'm too old to get my legs and arms up in the air, but I could lay on my back for a minute or two." Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 6. Do not lose heart. Do not give up. Do not throw in the towel, because you will reap if you don't quit. There's a harvest coming either way. There's a harvest from God as we are faithful and stand and walk this life out, or you're going to reap whatever the devil wants to throw at you because you're not standing. So stand for the Lord. Don't allow the winds of things to blow you over. Don't allow emotional or physical or financial or family issues to take control of your mouth life, where you're engulfed and your mouth begins to speak out all the negativity you can possibly think of. Stand and say, "If God is for me, who can be against me? I'm standing." If I shout louder, will you say amen? Just thought I'd ask. I'll wear my voice out. They say if you want a new preacher, just say amen a few times. He'll preach himself to death. Number 3. Be brave. Be brave. That word brave is very interesting. It means courageous. We don't run. We don't back away from the tough things. We go in where God leads us, and we go in with an atmosphere of the anointing of the presence of God. We need to carry our own atmosphere. It doesn't matter where you are. You may be in the deadest church in the world. You may be in a place where they don't know anything about God, but you're having a party in the Holy Spirit because you're walking in the atmosphere of Jesus Christ. You're walking this life out. You're going for it. You can see victory ahead. You are not worried about what people think. You're going forward in the name of Jesus. You're going to say what God tells you to say. And you're going to praise God whatever happens. Don't back up. Look at David. Some people said he might have been 18, he might have been 16, he might have been 20. But he takes some food out to his brothers who are in battle. And one of his brothers said, "Well, all you've come is to make sport of us. You just came to laugh at us." They were all hiding behind the rocks, even King Saul. Because there was this giant who made fun of him. And the word from the giant was, "Send somebody out to fight me. If they beat me, you win. If I beat them, we win." The giant probably wore purple. Must have been a Viking. And as they're standing, he was no cowboy. Should have been. So as they're standing there, David says, "I'll fight him." And so King Saul puts all the armor he had on David. Now there's something that's always puzzled me. King Saul wouldn't fight Goliath with the armor on, but he'll put the armor on David and expect him to fight with the armor. Think about it. What does David know? He knows God. He says, "The lion and the bear came and I killed them, and you giant, you're no different." And David ran, the Bible says, toward the giant. Took him down. King Hezekiah, when he became king, came in Jerusalem and he cleaned it out. He took out the high places and destroyed the things, and even he found the brazen serpent that Moses raised up in the wilderness called Nehushtan. He broke it because they were worshiping it. And he set his mind to serve the Lord. And when Sennacherib came from Assyria with his multitudes of armies, and he looked at King Hezekiah and he said, "You know, none of these other countries' gods have protected them. Yours won't either." And King Hezekiah started praying. And he stood. He didn't compromise. He didn't give in. He stood there. And in one night, God sent one angel. And that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. There's a lot of things coming at the Christian right now in America. It's time to be courageous. It's time to come to be a little bit like the three Hebrew children. Oh, King, live forever. We have a God who's able to save us, but even if he doesn't save us, we're not going to bow and we're not going to bend before your image. We're not going to bow before some philosophy, some doctrine, some teaching that has nothing to do with the Word of God. And for political correctness, we're just going to say, no, we're not going to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We're not going to believe in hell anymore. We're not going to believe in any of this stuff. And Rob Bell, we're just going to accept your book that God must have been wrong when it came to hell. No! We're standing strong for Jesus Christ. We're going to be courageous. We're going to speak truth. We're going to walk this out. We're going to let people know what God has to say, not what man thinks God is saying. And I want you to know as you sit there tonight, God has a word for you. God has a message for you. God has a plan for you. God has designed your life. God has a purpose. And we just come to a place where we are listening to what God has to say. We're walking out what God has to say. Our plan is to do what God has to. That's why we're doing what we're doing in this church. I believe God wants this church to be full of worshipers. I believe as we worship God, God will draw people. God will draw people. But not only that, but his fragrance will spread through this town for his glory. I understand it's different. It's not different to God. It's different to us. I realize that. But if this whole town was going to be changed by going to church, it should have been changed 50 years ago. Amen? You could have a church on every corner and nothing's going to happen until God comes in. We got quite a few. Be courageous. The last word is to be strong. That's a Greek word in dunamo. It means to be infused with supernatural strength. Be infused with supernatural strength. Explosive strength and power and divine abilities. I'm almost afraid to ask a question because none of you the last week thought God loved you and loved you. Till I had you stand. How many of you know the Holy Spirit lives within you? How many realize when the Holy Spirit comes in, He brings power? He brings strength. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the scheming devices of the devil. I want to remind you that you're not wimps, you're warriors. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What can't you do? What can't we go through? What are we afraid of facing? What grips our hearts and tries to bring that cowardice back in us? We're courageous. We're standing firm. We're walking this life out. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing will be able to stand against us as we put this into our spirits and we have our minds changed and we're walking this life out in the strength and power of God. Demons will flee. You may turn on the travel channel and even the ghosts will have to leave. Come on. That's what God tells you. Be strong. He looked at Joshua and told him, be strong and very courageous. Because wherever you put the sole of your feet, I'm going to give you, and nothing will stand against you all the days of your life. Can we live with that mindset? Do we have to make an amazing paradigm shift to come to a place that we just come where the Bible's telling us we should be? You walk it out in His power. You walk it out in His presence. You walk it out in His strength. You walk it out with His anointing. You walk it out in His glory. You walk it out with the Holy Spirit leading you. And God has not planned for your defeat. He's planned for you to be more than conquerors. Can you believe that? Are you ready for it? It's time. God has made you and designed you to rule. He's designed you to be in charge. He's designed you to be the head and not the tail. That even woke Curtis up. He designed us to walk this life out in victory. And you may look at it and say, but wow, Pastor, you don't know. I don't know, but God does. If you believe God has designed you for failure, why are you walking with Him? If you believe God is designed for Satan to rule, why would we even be here? We have a job to do. We have a work to accomplish. We have people to win. We have demons to kick out. We have authorities to tear down. That's what we're here for, and we need to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't give up on your families. Don't scratch your head and say they'll never come to Christ. Don't look at people as hopeless. Look at them as opportunities to see God move. And bless them. I believe this is the time for this community. But I believe it's time for Christians to rise up. It's time we let our broken wings heal. and we soar as eagles in the Spirit of God. You may have been hurt. You may have gone through things. Time to put it behind you. You may have unforgiveness in your heart. Listen to me. This just came. You may have unforgiveness in your heart, but I want to look at something. Unforgiveness is a device of Satan to keep you from going where God wants you to go. Unforgiveness is a device from Satan that will stop you from reaching God's goal for your life. Get it out. Let it go. And you'll walk in victory. Father, I thank you for your blessed word. I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to me about many of these things I've preached. And Lord, we submit to you. And Father, now just touch this group of people by your power, by your Spirit. Let them be alert. Let them stand firm in the faith. Let them be courageous because of the Holy Spirit, and let them be strong. And Father, we give you praise.